With me this morning over to the book of Galatians, Galatians chapter 1, verses 15. On the screens, if you can go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, we're opening to Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. On the screens, Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. We're going to read Romans 12, verses 1 through 2 on the screens. In our Bibles, we're going to read from Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. I honestly had a message we had already made up a message title screen for. We already made up the CDs for with the message title on it. It's called Think Big. And I tell you what, it's good to think big. And I've got all my notes on that. But about 5 minutes before I walked out of first service this morning or walked into first service, the Lord just dropped a scripture in my heart. Just on the inside, I was reminded of this scripture in Galatians chapter 1. And so I went over to my Bible, opened it up, and I just felt compelled in my heart to share some of these things and to make an example out of it. I told first service, it'd be like going to a Mexican restaurant. You know, you get the chips and the salsa when you first come out, and that's just for free. You know, you just munch on that, and then you order something big later and get the fajitas or something like that. But it turned out first service, we ate so much chips and salsa, we never got to the fajitas. The same thing was true, and yeah, you'd probably do that at your restaurant, Mexican restaurant. So, but the same thing was true in second, and I'm sure the same thing will be true here this morning. But I want to encourage you to just open up your heart and receive all that the Lord has for you. If you have a mobile device, feel free to use it. Use a Bible app on your iPhone or iPad. Or if you need a Bible and you don't have one, you can lift up your hand and our ushers will be in the aisles to give you one right now. Galatians chapter 1 in verse 15 says this. But when it pleased God, this is Paul talking, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. We'll stop there. We're going to read the rest. But let's stop there and let's read verse 15 again. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. Friend, before you were ever born in this life, while you were still in your mother's womb, God called you to something. He assigned you to do something, to achieve something in this life. And the reason why so many people struggle in life is simply because they're never working on that assignment. They're never working on the thing that God has graced them for. Paul said he called me by his grace. What's interesting with Paul is this. Paul had a fascinating destiny. I mean, just amazing the scope and scale that he was used by God on. Paul wrote 3/4 of your New Testament. This book, Galatians, Colossians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Thessalonians, Titus, all of these books, Paul was used by God to write. In fact, I would dare say that other than the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul has done more for the gospel than any man who ever walked on this earth. Not only did he do this, but he was called by God to do it. Not when he turned 20, not when he turned 30, not when he turned 40, while he was still in his mother's womb. And this is why even when you're parenting children, as we mentioned in our parenting series, that we are never to instruct our children, you can be anything you want to be when you grow up. No, you can't, friend. Now, in the natural, you can be anything you want to be. Yeah, we believe our kids are talented. We believe they're skilled. But they can't be anything they want to be. There's something God has called them to be. And you can be anything you want to be, and you can choose to be anything that you want to be, but you will only find God's grace in what he has called you to be. That's your place of favor. That's your wealthy place. And friends, with Paul, this individual, formerly known as Saul, he was called by his mother's womb to be this great apostle. But what is fascinating is for decades, literally decades of this man's life, he was doing the complete opposite of what God had called him to do. This man was called by God to make more Christians than anyone other than Jesus, to lead people in a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior. And guess what he's doing? He's finding Christians and murdering them. He's very good at it. In fact, his name is famous in the community. And this is a man who has wealth. He has esteem. He's admired by his peers. He's admired by those who are close to him. He's got all the things that the world would look at for a successful life. But what he doesn't have is peace on the inside. Can I tell you this? I don't care how much money you have, you cannot buy peace. A new car can't give it to you. A new house can't give it to you. There's only one giver of peace, and that is God. And when he gives it to you, the world can't take it away because the world has nothing to do with it. It comes from God. And what Paul is missing in all of his success and all of his fame and all of his abilities is he's missing this peace. And on one particular day, Jesus appears to him. He says, Saul, Saul, that was his name before God changed it to Paul. He said, my goodness, it sure is hard to kick against the pricks, isn't it? What was he saying? You're not doing what I've called you to do. And for years I've been trying to get your attention by giving you pricks on the inside. I love that. Pricks, back in those days, they put them up on gates to keep the animals from getting out of the gates. And there'd be certain animals and things that would kick against it, trying to get that gate open. But all it'd do is, man, just put a thorn in their foot. Just uncomfortable. And here Paul, man, he's got this great life. He's got wealth. He's got fame. He's got esteem. All these things. But on the inside, it's just something nagging. Something tugging. Something pulling. What was that? It was God trying to get his attention. And he didn't get it until that day in Damascus. Here's what's fascinating about God is God's got many things he can do with you, but one perfect thing. Notice in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Notice my body's not my own. I'm to present it as a living sacrifice, and my body's to be holy. I'm not to be doing crazy things with it. Present your bodies holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But go down to verse 2. Watch this. And be not conformed to this world, don't be fashioned to within its mold, but be ye transformed, be ye completely renewed by the renewing of your mind. Now watch this, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You read this from its actual Greek, and what it's saying here is there is a good will of God, there's an acceptable will of God, and there's a perfect will of God. As a minister that I grew up around, he had a huge ministry. He went home to be with the Lord in his 80s. But he always would make this statement, and he would say, many ministers live and die and never get over into the first thing, first phase of what God had called them to. And that always stood out to me. Number one, because I was training to be in ministry. But then number two, I got to thinking about that. We as ministers, we're paid to walk with God. I mean, we're paid to know him. I mean, that's our job, to know God, to walk with God, to fellowship with God. And if we're missing it and never getting it into the first thing that God's called us to, then I wonder what the percentage is for the average believer. Friends, I'm telling you, there is an acceptable will of God that God allows you to live your life however you want to live it, but it limits what he is able to do for you. God is fascinating in this, is he will never do anything to control or manipulate your love. He's given you the free power of choice. You get to choose what you want to do. And when we choose and make decisions outside of his will, he allows us to do that, but we enter into his acceptable will. I'll give you an example of this. The children of Israel back in the Old Testament, God never wanted them to have a king. He wanted to be their king. And you remember how God set it up? He put judges in the land and prophets in the land who would hear from God. And once they heard from God, heard from the king, they would pass laws to govern the kingdom. The only problem was the children of Israel got around all these other kingdoms and they saw natural kings, kings that you could touch and feel. And they said, man, look at all these other kingdoms. They got a king. We want a king. And so they kept crying out to God, God, let us have a king. God, let us have a king. And do you know that if you persist in your own way, God will let you do something? He'll let you do it. He let Adam and Eve eat of the apple, but it wasn't his perfect will, was it? As soon as we do something that's out of his perfect will, it takes us over into his acceptable will. And that's what the children of Israel did. They said, we want a king. And God came and he said, all right, we'll give them a king. He gave them their request, but it sent leanness to their souls. And you know what happened after that? It's the same thing that happens every time we go our way without seeking his way. What happened after that was the children of Israel lived a roller coaster life. Man, when they got a good king who loved God, the nation would flourish. Oh, the nation would see prosperity. The nation would move forward. But when there was a king that didn't love God and was worshiping false gods, I mean, the whole nation would go out of whack, and bondage would come in, and captivity would come. And then they'd find a king who would rise up and love God, and then God would bless that land again. And then it just worked in cycles that way. And there's a whole bunch of stuff that they went through that God never intended them to go through. And there's a whole lot of stuff that they faced that God never intended for them to face it. And there were a whole lot of ups and downs that God never intended them to see. They just chose the wrong way. Got over into the acceptable will of God and missed the perfect plan. See, in the perfect plan, that's where all the full measure of grace is. God, no matter who you are, he's always working to show you his blessings and his best. I mean, he lives for it. Like we said during the offering time, he lives for you, friend, literally lives for you. It's evident in the fact that he died for you. He is doing everything he can to give you the most wonderful, blessed life he can possibly give you. But at the end of the day, it's not enough for him to just do that. He's given us a choice. And we can cooperate with his plan or we can walk away from it. For Paul, he was walking away from it for decades, going the complete opposite direction. And all the while he's going, he's missing God until he heard from God. And on this one day, God comes in a way that's so spectacular, Paul can't miss it. And he acknowledges that this is Jesus and I need to listen to him. If I do, he'll make something of my life. And friend, in all of our lives, this is how we get over into the perfect plan of God. For years, Paul was just living in the acceptable will of God. And if he would have gone that route, he'd have lived that way and lived and died and never got over into what God had for him. The only way you can do God's plan is to know God's plan. And finally, God reveals his plan to him. A lot of people, this is where they're at. What they're wanting is for God to reveal his plan to them. God, just tell me what you want me to do. Reveal your plan for me. And there are times where God moves in spectacular ways. I mean, I've never seen Jesus. If you have, congratulations. That's awesome. But I've never been led that way. And there are other ways that are spectacular that God leads us and God guides us. But friend, let me tell you this. People are looking for the spectacular and all the while missing the supernatural. Paul had a spectacular moment, but God was always trying to lead him and guide him with what? Not with the vision, but with the pricks. Well, as long as Paul was alive, God was dealing with his heart, trying to get his attention, saying, man, Paul, your life is going the complete opposite of the way I want it to go, and you're never going to have peace and enjoy the full measure of the blessing of the Lord while you're living this way. And friend, I want to encourage you in your life. God is leading and guiding you. He's leading you. He's guiding you. And when you get something on your heart, the only thing left to do is to obey. For Paul, this meant a big life change. I mean, when God was dealing with him to change, you're talking about when he makes this change, instead of being the hunter, he's about to be the hunted. I mean, when he makes this change to preach the gospel, he's got men who shave their heads and swear they won't eat or drink until they kill them. That's a bad day. I mean, when you make someone so mad that they shave their head, I mean, you come to work and they shave their head and you see them putting away their lunch and their Kool-Aid on the table and saying, I'm not eating. And you hear other people talking, why aren't they eating? Well, they said they aren't eating until they are drinking anything until they kill you. That's a bad day. That's what happened to Paul when he made this decision. So you can imagine all of the feelings and emotions that are involved with this. There may be some people in here today who are at a crossroads of decisions. A decision that could alter your life like it altered Paul's. There could be some people today that it doesn't seem like a life-altering decision, but you have something on your heart to do. I guess this is the word that I have in my heart. Just change. I know I need to change this. It could be to make changes in a relationship. It could be to make changes in a habit. It could be to make changes in some way of health. It could be to make changes on a job. It could be massive changes like changing locations. It could be whatever it may be, but just changes in your heart. And you know God's dealing with me to make a change. Well, somebody says, how do you know? How do you know that this is God and not just me? That's a good question. Go over, keep a finger there. God gave you two hands and multiple fingers. Keep a finger there in Galatians and go over to the book of 1 John. 1 John chapter 2, and let's look here in verse 20. How do you know when God's dealing with you to do something and that it's not just you? That's a wonderful question. How do you know that? When I was a boy, I guess I was probably around 13, 14 at the time, I would go quite often into my father's office. My father was a minister of the gospel. He was the pastor of this church before I was. So I'd go into his office to just look through all of his books. He always had books everywhere and bookcases full of books that he had read. And I would always go for the books that looked a little beat up. Have you ever seen a book that was just in perfect condition? I mean, you opened up the cover and it squeaked and because it hadn't been broken in. And I mean, the corners are all crisp and the pages are still white. You know what that means? You haven't read the book. Because when you read the book, it's broken in. And so I never went to those books that were like that. I would always try to find the books that were beat up, where half the cover was missing. And you opened up the book and there's crevices in the book and pages that have been marked and things that are underlined and highlighted, because I knew there must have been something worthy in that book, that it was probably a gold mine. And I remember going through my father's books on that day, looking for books like that. And I pulled out this one book that looked pretty tattered around the edges. And it was a book by Donald G., a man named Donald G., entitled The Pentecostal Experience. I opened it up, and this one particular page, it was marked, and this story was highlighted and marked, and so I figured, well, this would be a good little nugget to read. And this example that this minister gave, I've given it before, but I feel impressed to share it today. It's one that even as a young child just made a dramatic effect in my life. I've never forgotten it. Never have forgotten it. It's guided me well. He was asking this question, the question I'm asking you, how do you know it's God speaking to you? How do you know it's the will of God to do something or to make that change and it's not just you? He said, I'll give you this example. He said, think of a train that's running along train tracks. He said, it could be a passenger train with a lot of passengers on it. And the whole time while they're on the train tracks, they may go through places and see things that look dangerous. I mean, they could go through heavy storms or a windstorm or a big rainstorm or see things out the window that look like there's pain or sorrow, or go through a part of town that doesn't look amazing. And they even could go through a dark tunnel. And in that dark tunnel, they can't even see the light because they're not at the front of the train. They're only seeing the sides. And it just looks like that no light can ever break through. But he said the whole time while they're on that train, they may go through some things that look negative. They may go through some things that look bleak. But as long as they're on those tracks, there's an innate smoothness. I never will forget that term. An innate smoothness. I mean, as long as they're on those tracks, they could go up hills and down valleys, but as long as that train is on those tracks, there's an innate smoothness for every passenger on that train. They said you could take the same train with the same passengers and put it in a place where the scenery was great. I mean, everything around it looked spectacular. Everything around it just looked amazing and beautiful scenery. No dark tunnels, no storms, no nothing. And take that train and get it off track. Or maybe there's a break in the track. And that train falls off of that track and it's beauty all around it. But when it falls off that track, there's no one on that train who doesn't think something's wrong. You know it. How do you know it? That innate smoothness is not there anymore. In fact, there's calamity. He said, this is the way that God works. And being led by the Lord, the way that you know you're going in the right direction is in your heart. There's an innate smoothness. Just in your heart, you know. This is the direction we need to go. And with that, and I've been times like that, that looks like chaos is breaking all around you. And people are wondering, what are you going to do about that? What are you going to do about that? And the whole while you're thinking about it and you're wondering about it, but on the inside, you know, there's an innate smoothness. And I don't know all the answers, but I know God's going to take care of this because in my heart, I know I have peace about this. See, God leads with peace. Let the peace of God rule and reign in your heart. God leads with peace. And as long as you have peace, you're okay. Someone says, God's not saying anything to me. That's a good place to be. That means you're doing everything right. I mean, if you're in a place where, you know, there's no big leadings, there's nothing I need to change, that just means keep doing what you're doing. But on the inside, if you get, I need to make a change there. And just you're going through life and woo, calamity hits. And just calamity is right there. And you know on the inside, oh, something's not right. And on the outside, everything looks good. But just on the inside, something's not right. I can remember sitting down with a man that I admired very much, a very wealthy man. And he was giving me some financial advice. And 9 times out of 10, my ear is open to this guy. But when he's talking to me, I know in my heart, something's not right with that. I just sense, I mean, everything's great. He's shown me the return markets. I could look at making anywhere between 17 and 25% on this particular investment. Very interested in it. But the whole time he's talking, that train is going off the track in my heart. And I'm smiling, I'm shaking my head. But on the inside, I know something is not right. And so at the end of the day, contract's there, getting ready to sign over the check. And I just said, no, you know, I don't have peace about this. It's my gut. Just don't have peace about this. And friend, I kid you not, a couple of months later, I was reading through the Wall Street Journal, saw that particular investment come up with a news review on it. And everyone who invested in it lost all that money. It's a scam. Well, friend, what is that? That's God leading and guiding you. When there's an innate smoothness, you follow that. And even if there's calamity all around you, as long as you follow it, you'll always reach God's destination. But when there's a kicking against the pricks and there's calamity on the inside, you need to stop and make adjustments and change whatever the Lord is telling you to change. There's a scripture here in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. Notice what it says. It says, but you have an unction from the Holy One and you know all things. That word unction means rubbing. You have a rubbing from the Holy One. Who's the Holy One? It's God. You have a rubbing from Him. And notice this, you know all things. I got to thinking about that. I know all things? Really? I know all things? I don't know how to fly a plane. My wife came home and her sister had baked a carrot cake for me. I ate the cake. I don't know how to make it. I don't know how to make the cake. What does that mean, I know all things? Here's what it means. You have an unction from the Holy One and you know all the things you need to know. I am confident in my relationship with God. There's something I need to do or know, I will have an unction on it. If I don't have an unction on it, I don't move, I don't take a step, I'm waiting for my unction. But when that unction comes, that rubbing on the inside, I need to do something. I don't hesitate, I don't negotiate, I don't make changes, I don't modify, I don't improve, I just walk it out. And friend, I'm telling you, that's how it works. Well, how does that unction come? I'll give you an example. There was a lady and her husband who were wonderful ministers, and they were out traveling. This was for airplanes. They were out traveling with cars, and they had a minivan. or not a minivan, but the thing you connect to the car, the camper. And it was connected, and they would stay there and travel from these churches. And they were on their way to this one particular church, and they got lost. And the meeting started at 7. It was here, now it was 6:50. And the lady, the elderly lady who's the minister's wife, was just praying. And she said, "I think we really need to stop and get a newspaper. I just have it on my heart to stop at a gas station and get a newspaper." And the man said, "Well, that didn't make any sense. Newspaper, we got to find the church, woman. We got to go to church. We're scheduled to preach. Doesn't make any sense." And finally, they just got more and more lost. He said, "Fine, we'll go over and get a newspaper." So he stopped at the gas station. She gets out, gets the newspaper. And she's going through it, and she sees an advertisement for the meeting with the name, address of the church, and directions on how to get there. Well, what is that? That's an unction. Why'd she get that unction is what she needed to know. Friend, I'm telling you, when you're walking with God, if you need to know something, He will show it to you. Now, from there, you can ignore it. From there, you can kick against the pricks. From there, you can go the opposite direction like Paul did for decades. But here's the thing with God. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. God never changes His mind. And if He's calling you to do something, He will be calling you to do the same thing. For Jonah, it was go to Nineveh. Jonah didn't go to Nineveh. He got, on the ship. What happened when he got on the ship? He was in the acceptable will of the Lord. What happened when he got there? The same thing that happens to everyone who does. Calamity, chaos. Here comes a storm. The sailors who don't know God have enough sense. Someone here has displeased someone up there. And Jonah meekly raises his hands. They cast him over the ship, and a whale comes up, or some type of big animal in the water comes up and swallows him up, and immediately the storm stops. That's an example in friendship by itself. If you've got a storm in your life, it could be you've got the wrong person in your life. Come on, somebody. But anyway, with that, guess what happens? He's in the whale's belly, number of days, finally he calls out to God, gives God thanks, the fish spits him up, and guess what the first thing God tells him to do is? Go down to Nineveh. God never changes His mind. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance. They remain the same steadfast. And that haunts a lot of people because they've never made a decision to do the thing God called them to do. Finally, he does. Guess what happened? The blessing of the Lord was at Nineveh. Friend, I want to encourage you in this. Oh, I want to encourage you in this. If you have an unction, in your heart, you know you need to do something, big or small. Don't play with it. Don't negotiate with God. Follow your heart. I don't know if this really is God. Follow your heart. Well, what if I miss it? I'd rather miss it trying to follow God than stay in the boat and never do anything for Him because I was too afraid to follow Him. Friend, when you miss it, just like Peter. Peter stepped out of the boat and was walking on water, missed it, cried out for mercy. God didn't let him drown. He picked him up, took him right back to the boat. And it's the same way. There are some times where you step out, and maybe it wasn't God, but you honestly believed it was. God's not going to let you drown. There's going to be mercy there to pick you back up and bring you back to the boat. But friend, you got to obey that unction. You got to obey that unction. I told you to keep a finger there in Galatians. Let's turn back to it and I'll close with this. Galatians chapter 1, verse 15. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb, called me by His grace, verse 16, to reveal a son that I might preach him among the heathen. Now watch this. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went up unto Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I returned into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him for 15 days. Notice verse 16 again. To reveal his son in me that I might preach among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. When I got this call from the Lord, when I knew I needed to make a change on His behalf, the first thing I did was make sure I didn't talk to anyone about it. He said, I didn't even go up to the apostles. That makes sense, right? You're called to be an apostle. It makes sense to go find an apostle and talk to him about it, right? According to Paul, he said, the first thing I made sure I didn't do was talk to anybody about this. Can I give you something in closing? That's probably one of the wisest things I've ever heard. It's so true. People give opinions. God gives plans. And there's a big difference between the two. Have you noticed? I noticed this even last night with myself. You know, I was watching the Olympics, and I immediately became an expert in gymnastics. I've never watched gymnastics, maybe every 4 years. But these men are doing their deal, and there was a deduction on this one American, and I jumped up. He stuck the landing. He stuck, and I'm an expert all of a sudden. I don't know anything about gymnastics. These judges have been judging gymnastics for decades, and this is my first event. But I know, I'm confident. He's right. He should be upset. He stuck the landing. All of a sudden, I become an expert. And when you step out on the will of God and you start asking people about it, guess how many experts pop up? Well, I feel like starting a business. Well, let me tell you about what you need to do there. Let me give you this. And they've never run a business before. They don't know anything about business. They can't even spell business. And they're telling you what to do with your business. Well, I feel like I'm called to go into ministry. They have no idea how ministry works. And they're giving you pointers. Watch this. Be careful about that. And all the while, you have to understand this. Words are not just words, friend. It's not just words. The Word of God, it's not just words. Every word that comes out of someone's mouth is a seed. And there are people in your life that you have opened up your heart to. Could be people close to you. It could be loved ones, friends, family. It could be anyone. But for whatever reason, you've opened up your heart to those people. And when that happens, that can be a very positive thing, but it can be very negative too. Because people can talk you out of the will of God. The words are likened unto a seed. When God gives you instruction, it's a seed that goes into your heart if you're open. There are some people like Paul was for decades, weren't even open to it. Just that seed was hitting that ground and rolling off. But there are occasions where you open up your heart to God and that seed gets in. And guess what immediately the enemy comes to do? He comes after that. He comes after that leading. And one of the main ways he does it is by choking it out with weeds. Seeds that get next to that seed that aren't right. And it either talks you out of the will of God or, and this happens to people all the time, it modifies God's original instruction. And they start getting involved in things in their life that God never told them to get involved in. It wears them out. It tires them out. They're doing things differently than the way God told them to do it. And it's all because they open up their ears to someone who had a good idea. You know how many professionals that are out there that have good ideas that never pan out? If every good idea panned out, we would never be in any financial crisis. Everything would always work. Everything would be fine. The experts can handle this. The reality is ideas and opinions will fail, but God's plans remain firm. And Paul said, the first thing I do when I receive God's plan is I made sure I didn't talk to anyone about it for 3 years. Why? He's getting it firm in his heart. Because even if you don't ask people about it, you can rest assured there are people in your life who long to give you their opinion. Friend, I want to tell you this. Guard your heart. And whatever God has told you to do, don't modify it. Don't try to improve upon it. Don't try to do more than it. Don't do less than it. Whatever He has told you to do, you've got one choice. Don't talk to other people about it or negotiate with God. Do it. Do it. And when you walk out in that obedience to God, walk out on that leading, that's when miracles happen. That's when God breaks things loose. Whatever He tells you to do, just do it. And be secure enough in that, hey, I may go through things on the outside, but as long as I've got that innate smoothness in my heart because I'm doing what God's told me to do, I will always make it through to the other side, safe and secure. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Oh, you've been a great audience. Let me pray with you before you. Father, we come before you today, and I thank you for all of these people who are here. Bless them, Lord, for being at church today. They've sought your kingdom first by attending church this week. And making it a priority to come to. Bless them, Lord. Bless their week. And Father, we thank you.